It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkerin, along with the birthday boy, Ken Evans, covering Happy Birthday, by the way.
Well, thank you. You got me a present here. Are we doing this on the air?
We don't have to do
Come on, let's do it on the
sure,
air.
Sure, why not?
I won't read the card. Great at cards.
I'll do the this card is pretty underwhelming.
I don't need to be weepy during the show today.
Yes, no weep. Well, actually, don't do the card.
Is this the Brock Lesnar biography?
It is. It's autographed by Wade.
Is it really?
No.
Oh. I'm sure it's great still. I'm sure it's great. This is Way of the Warrior, by the way.
I'll do the intro again in a second.
What is this? 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos. I've never heard about this. Jordan Peterson, who is he?
Jordan Peterson is a psychologist from Canada. Very Marshall McLuhan-esque. Anyway, this has been my favorite book in 2018 so far, and I thought you would enjoy it greatly because he reminds me of you a lot.
Just so people know, because I realize how in passing that could have, like, I've never heard of this guy. What is this? I very much trust Eric's recommendations in books, so he understands that when I say that, I'm just like, oh, I don't know who this is.
Yeah, so I think you'll dig that very much. So happy birthday, my friend.
Let's pick tell the truth or at least don't lie. Rule number 8. I like that.
Yeah, so you're already in.
Wait
till you read the don't let your kids do things you'll hate them for is probably going to be your favorite chapter.
Let's see. Oh, I like this. Be precise in your speech. I always say words mean things.
Yep.
They mean things when you say them.
Yes, they do.
So I like this guy already. I'm going to read this book while Eric does the show today.
You do that. All right. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show, as we celebrate Ken's birthday. And he got another birthday present seconds ago, which was not going to be the top of the show. But now I feel since it's your birthday, it should be the top of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Brock Lesnar's coming back.
Yes! Okay, sort of. Maybe. Possibly. Possibly.
Brock says that the UFC says they're open to the return, and Brock says he's ready to return whenever.
Okay, so you're literally, because I obviously have a radio job. I was on the air this morning. I wasn't able to see. This sounds a lot more official than when I just scanned the headline before.
Well, I mean, I don't think anything's like official, but they've been, look, we talked about this. His manager is obviously super into it. Heyman's been talking about it. I just think when we've been talking for week in and week out about what are they going to do with the rest of the year after July, this story has a lot more weight. And Dana has always said that he's been a fan of this guy. I just think as a birthday present to you, I'm just going to do what Ken always does and just say your October card will have Brock Lesnar on it.
So again, Brock, when we haven't had the NSAC hearing, have we? For John, is that next week?
27, so yes.
Yes, next week, okay. Because I think that's going to play into this a lot to see kind of what happens. Although Brock still, I mean, we forget, he's been out more than a year, which is usually your default punishment. And he's only tested positive once. I know a lot of people have suspicions for years.
Sure.
But that's the rule. You test positive, there you go.
You got to get caught first, yo. Isn't that the rule?
What do you mean you got to get caught first? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, fair enough. So what you're saying is perhaps soon in the UFC, if we're lucky, we could hear this music.
We could.
Actually, he didn't come out to this.
No, but man, I wish he did. And I also wish, like, before he comes out, Paul Heyman gets in the middle of the octagon and screams about stuff.
So I hope that's happening in the UFC at some point. It would be a good play for him. It really would.
I don't know what other play you have. I mean, we'll get into the Conor McGregor news here in a second. But if you can't wrangle the cat that is the Conor McGregor media hype train.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what you do with the rest of this year. I mean,
Mayweather,
CM Punk.
We gave that free one away. That's clearly sons of bitches listening, stealing our ideas.
It's clearly an August card.
We should just book pro wrestlers on these shows. You know they're going to sell.
So you've got that thing floating out there, which obviously has a lot more weight than it did when we were just saying that's the thing to do. But as far as...
It's scary how much sense that ridiculous fight makes, though.
Right
Isn't
now,
it?
It's totally scary, especially after, you know, what we've been talking about for the last month, essentially, is this brand needs to decide on what it's going to be. Is it building stars to do high-level pay-per-views that get a lot of money, or is it becoming an organization that has aged up with the 18-year-olds that started with it, say, 20 years ago, and now it's just about fights? Because if it's just about fights, and we'll talk about Cerrone in a minute, like, if it's just about fights, last weekend was a blast.
It was, you know what? You're 100% right. I mean, and that's what I kind of said. And there's dogs here and there, but the UFC is never really going to go out there and put on a whole show that's terrible. Of course, every once in a while, it's not planned. It's not predetermined. Something's going to happen. They're good at finding fighters that are pretty well equally matched up, that are explosive, that are good at what they do, that are the top in the world. But is that necessarily interesting? Whole podcast, past couple weeks, you can download those, because the discussion doesn't necessarily land that a great fight is an interesting fight.
No, and if we're leaning the other direction, which I feel the organization, this is what we talked about, I feel the organization is, then yes, CM Punk and Floyd Mayweather makes more sense than it should, and the return of Brock Lesnar seems imminent, especially if we don't know what's going to happen next week with Jon Jones. And like you said,
I thought you were going to say John Cena for a minute. Like, especially, boy, we're really going sideways here.
We don't know what's going to happen with Strowman, you know, or whatever, right? Like, I don't know who else is going to come over. But if John essentially gets away with murder, right, where he just literally gets the year-long suspension and he's back in, we're having a different discussion.
I would usually laugh at that joke, but he almost killed that lady with a car.
Right. But, like, in this particular case, if he gets away with the suspension that he's already been serving.
Right. When he's supposed to be 4 years. We looked this up. This is what's supposed to happen next.
But I don't think that's going to happen. And if that doesn't happen and he's back in play, well, now you have, is he going to heavyweight and going to fight after you get DC and Stipe?
Mm-hmm.
Or does he stay down at light heavy? And I know this is a little bit of a left turn to 60 miles an hour, but just to kind of set the context before we started talking about Conor, is that if we're, as the UFC, leaning into we need to have giant pay-per-views that draw people in, you have to have these players on the board for that to work.
Yeah, I think you do too. If you're talking about pay-per-views and those type of things, you've got to make sure that you've got some names in there, and it's tough. We're short on names, you know, and Brock Lesnar, if he's open to it, you know, and I know some people say Paul Heyman, he's a wrestling guy. Paul Heyman's a marketing guy.
Yep.
He actually, wrestling is a hobby for him at this point. The introductions, the management, quote unquote, of Brock Lesnar. He's in marketing. He runs a very successful marketing firm. For those of you that don't know, he knows branding. He helped facilitate one of the first deals, from what we're hearing about the back and forth with the UFC when the Mark Hunt situation happened. Not necessarily as the manager like the on-air deal, but kind of setting things up a little bit with Brock and interest in WWE, allowing that to happen. So when he says it, there's weight there. That's why we talk about it when he says it, not because it's a wrestling angle of any sort. The UFC's interest, again, this is the same reason I told you a couple years ago. I think you said I was insane. I know other friends of ours told me I was nuts. I told you probably three years ago, I said that Mayweather-Conor fight's going to happen. I said
probably,
that, and you thought I was nuts. I'm like, there's too much damn money out there. And there's too much damn money out there for the UFC to ignore a guy like Brock Lesnar if he wants back in.
So what do you do, the Nagano fight? What do you do with him?
Oh, I'd love that fight. That's a great fight. You can get Nagano. You either set something up. You set something up like Brock is still a world beater and he can walk back in and out. And, man, look, we only get him once a year. But, damn, when we get him, you know he's going to be a monster. Or Nagano gets a big win. He gets kind of back to that spot and probably not going to get Stipe right away after that just because of what happened. But, you know, we said in that fight he looked young and out of his element and like he didn't have the right game plan, even though he talked about the right game plan. You know, he said he learned more in that fight in those 10, 15 minutes than he learned in 4 years of fighting. So he would get a chance to really show that against a guy like Brock Lesnar. And people were dismissive 2 years ago. And you saw what he did to Mark Hunt. And I know he tested, and I know that takes away from it, but you saw what he did. And a lot of people were saying he wouldn't make it out of the first 2 or 3 minutes with Mark Hunt. And he beat him.
Yep.
And it was insane.
It was totally insane. And so here's the things that you've got on the table. After this past weekend, you have the big win with Derek Lewis and probably the greatest single minute in UFC history of TV airtime.
I missed that one, actually.
So Derek Lewis wins in the third round and tells his, I don't actually know if he's married or if they're dating, tells his girlfriend that he's coming home and going deep. They cut away from him to make him stop talking about what he's going to do to his girlfriend and go to Nate Diaz, who tries to light a blunt up in Austin, Texas, in the middle of the crowd. So
still better than the Olympics guy, though, who accidentally thanked his girlfriend and his wife after winning.
Yeah, that is still better than that. But
wow.
So you've got the idea that Derek Lewis and Nagano is out there because they've got rivalry, and that is also a fun fight. But there's no doubt that the bigger fight, the bigger money fight would be Nagano and Brock Lesnar.
You know,
if you can do that, right?
Yeah, if you can do. I mean, here's the really cool thing about Brock Lesnar when we talk about this, and we talk about it because of dollars and interest. Brock is the headliner. I mean, I like Mark Hunt a lot. We knew as MMA fans he was a legit guy, but all those people buying that pay-per-view for Brock Lesnar,
yep,
didn't necessarily care who was across the cage.
And here's the better part of that story.
So you could take Derek Lewis and put him in there with Brock. I mean, you got pretty much any heavyweight with any type of name is okay to throw in against Brock.
Well, and the fun thing about Brock, which is why they're probably higher on this than the super inside MMA fan who should be against this, right? Because he tested and all that sort of stuff. Like, you got to understand, the fans of Brock Lesnar don't, much like Conor McGregor, don't actually care if he loses and don't actually care if he tests hot.
Yeah, I mean, and to a certain point, too, if he was in there and he had beaten a champion, I think there's a weird thing. Brock is businesslike. I mean, a nice guy would be way too far. Daniel Cormier seems like a really nice guy. Brock seems like he could be a nice guy, but he's in there doing business. And I think people appreciate that respect, too. John Jones seems like a dick. I mean, that's where all these dudes land. So when a guy like John Jones gets caught multiple times, does the thing with the car accident, you know, has the drug issues that he's had in the past, they don't... Everything is fluid. You know, one guy testing positive can garner a certain reaction that another guy doesn't. For me, Brock testing positive, I was disappointed, no doubt.
Sure.
No doubt. But again, hey, it doesn't take away from the fact that he did what he did, and he did it at 40 years old, and he did it in the UFC. John Jones, come on, man. Look, the first time, I think people were a little more lenient, even though there was some backlash. He does it again, and people really start coming around to Daniel Cormier's side. You know, I only bring that up because I guarantee there's going to be somebody listening to this podcast thinking I'm being hypocritical about it. Maybe I am, but every guy is different. Every guy is fluid, and in this situation, that's where Brock is landing.
Well, I don't
for me
know,
at least.
I don't know that you're being hypocritical because I think there's a difference, as you would say, just about in any line of work. The person that's doing it part-time and not really taking it all that seriously because they have another job, not because he doesn't take fighting seriously, but because he's got eight other things in the fire versus the guy who that's his job. I think you come down harder on the guy who that's their job and they get busted three times doing crazy stuff.
Right.
That's a pattern of bad behavior.
Right.
Right. You can have all to what you said 10 minutes ago. You can have all the suspicion in the world about Brock Lesnar, but you're not able to selectively make up your own facts. You don't have any facts that he's been on stuff his entire career.
Right.
You have one instance.
Right. Yeah. And here's the other thing, too. And I know some people thought I was making excuses. I still feel like Brock, for the longest time, never did that. I mean, if you go back and look at him as a kid, he was huge.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing what happened is you get older, you get in your mid-30s, he's working not a full WWE schedule, but I mean, most guys have talked about the fact that that WWE schedule is the roughest thing you'll ever do in your life. I mean, CM Punk clear as day. And I know he's not a top level fighter, but he said he'd rather roll and train than wrestle anytime. It's 1,000 times easier on the body. My guess, if you want to get into supposition, is that this started when Brock was in his 30s at some point, was essentially out of MMA after he left UFC the first time. And, you know, you're trying to heal quicker. You're trying to get into the ring, and you're getting up there around 40 years old, and you're probably around guys with a lot of great gear. I mean, I guarantee whatever he was taking wasn't the horse tranquilizer BS and horse steroids we've seen in the past. This was good gear that, you know, this is an unpopular thing to say sometimes because people want to get wound up about it. I'm guessing now some of the steroids these guys do and some of these performance-enhancing drugs probably aren't that bad for their body anymore. This isn't like the old days of mid-90s wrestlers who were taking crazy things that were making their hearts bigger. And,
sure.
You know, guys like Eddie Guerrero dying of a heart attack. And, you know, I think he was in his 30s at that point, maybe 40s. I mean, I'm guessing the more and more they do science on this, the better it is for your body. And sometimes, you know, this is something people have been prescribed. I've had steroids prescribed for me before when I've had issues and injuries. I mean, they work to a certain way. And if you've got the money, which Brock does, I'm sure you're getting decent gear.
For sure. And what you're saying is he's not cutting his cocaine with creatine, and that's how he tests
I don't
positive.
Think
is that
so.
What you're saying?
See, okay. And that's the other thing, too. I think people, you know, with John Jones, they have a little more of a problem with it. Again, I was the guy on the show. I said, I don't care, man. You're like one of the craziest dudes in the world. You might need cocaine to party. Yeah, if you're that crazy.
Okay, but I mean, can you, at this point in your career, can you not find a guy that doesn't cut it with creatine? So you test
right.
positive?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you not do that?
I don't know. And again, you know, if it's affecting your work, stop. But I mean, if you go in there all...
Every other reason, just keep right. doing it. But I mean, right. if it's affecting your work, but, like, you got to wrangle it
like
in,
like you
buddy.
Said, hey, you need to calm it down. Maybe the cocaine's after the fight, not before it.
Maybe, but clearly not, right?
Again, I'm not advocating cocaine use. I'm just saying if you're like an... Basically, I mean, these top-level athletes are essentially aliens compared to the rest of us.
Yeah.
I mean, they're physique.
They're
and
doing
they're,
things. They look like people that
right.
we don't like.
Like
yeah,
these Olympians
yeah.
that we're seeing at the winter. These people are crazy. This is insane. They might as well be aliens when you look at their physiology against an average person.
Well, and I was watching, and this is a little bit of an aside, I was watching a video that Luke Thomas put up on Twitter, I think 4 days ago. And I don't even know. I'm not into powerlifting, so I don't actually know who this guy is. But it's not The Mountain. Okay.
Okay. Like, I've seen all the mountain videos.
But it's a guy who, like, essentially deadlifts 1,100 pounds, right? That dude is alien to me. I don't know how you lift 1,100 pounds with your arms
yeah.
and back and legs, right? And so they operate in a way that we don't quite understand. And I think in some cases, these sort of things make sense to them or... Lord forbid, maybe cocaine calms him down. I don't know, right?
Okay, I thought I was getting on thin ice there.
I don't know. I don't know.
Eric Holtgren, advocate for cocaine.
I'm not an advocate for cocaine.
Get
I'm just
you
saying,
to baseline.
I'm just saying, like, he's an odd one. I mean, the guy owns, like, wild cats in his house. And
does he?
Cocaine. Yeah, he owns...
John Jones?
He owns servals, those crazy giant wild cats.
Oh!
And then he does coke before he's going to fight people. Like, that's crazy town.
Okay.
Crazy town.
Hmm. That is crazy. But I mean, if I'm John Jones, are you just going to get a regular cat? No. You're going to get this crazy serval cat.
Speaking of
that, can jump onto a roof.
Left turns at 60 miles an hour.
I'm like, just saying.
I mean, you're the world champ. Like, would you just get a normal house pet?
No.
You'd get a lion, clearly.
Can I say, though, that I'm a little concerned that the Google image search, the first one is a two servals with a baby? That seems reckless. That's all I'm going to say. I understand that these people at Hilltop Pride are trying to show how the servals are good pets. I don't think this is a good picture. That's all I'm going to say.
They guard your babies, yo.
Or eat them. These things are huge.
They are huge.
They'll forget. They'll steal the baby's breath, according to my grandma. They go in the crib, man. You got to watch out.
Yep.
I'm just kidding.
Know. Yeah, totally know.
My co-host says that on my other gig. Like, she literally was afraid like a cat was going to steal her baby's breath when she was visiting family members. Well, let's move along. To what do we want to talk about here? Conor McGregor?
Let's go into Conor McGregor.
Because Conor McGregor, it looks like...
I feel like we need to, like, just start a segment, right, where we...
What?
This week in Conor McGregor. Okay, go ahead.
Who the fuck is that? It's Conor McGregor.
Boop, boop, boop.
Give me a couple minutes. I can put something together,
right,
Eric.
There you go.
So, Conor McGregor, looks like, if you followed along this week in the news, that he is closer to being stripped. But not actually stripped, which is still weird. I figured out why, though.
Okay, please
tell remember,
me why.
Because I was as confused as you are. Confused as you are about this whole ridiculousness of if this fight is for the title, why aren't you stripping the other guy? We are now a week and a half, 2 weeks and a 2 weeks away from a pay-per-view blowing up. Almost, but really not. We didn't realize going in that it wasn't going to be blown up. So Robert Whittaker comes in off weight. So at that point, it's... him and Luke Rockhold, right?
Whittaker's sick.
Whittaker's, I'm sorry.
Just
Yoel Romero.
Yes. Yoel Romero comes in off weight.
Oh, my God. This always happens
with
this weight class.
Yeah.
So it's Yoel and Rockhold.
Yep.
And Yoel comes off weight, so he can't be the number one contender if he wins.
But
Luke. No, wait. Luke, if you win, you can still be the number one contender. That was going into the fight.
Correct.
Luke loses. Oh, no. Who's going to be the number one contender? Yoel Romero! All of that I bring up because... Whatever was happening there, clearly confusion was reigning for a good 48 hours.
Yeah.
In decision making. I don't think either of these guys are going to be a problem. Well, see, you have had Nurmagomedov, though, with problems in the past.
Yes.
So I think Dana's hedging his bets. If one of these guys can't fight or something happens, you've still got the quote unquote undisputed champion in Conor.
I love this theory, but just so I can explain it to everybody. So, Ken, you're postulating that Conor is just hiding in a closet training, waiting if one of these guys doesn't make it, he's going to show up and go, ta-da!
That's not, but okay. He would do it. That tell me, though, I didn't even think about that. Tell me, though, that wouldn't be something Connor would live for. Well, it's like just to show up a week before.
I bring
this
up because of the audio that you're about to play. Connor on Instagram this week put that he was going to step in at 222 to fight Frankie Edgar,
mm-hmm.
and the UFC, quote-unquote, couldn't get the money together to make that happen. So I bring this up because it's not the first time in the last 60 days that he hasn't tried to already do this, or according to him. Now, according to Frankie Edgar's crazy manager who's been nuts.
Well, let's go before we get this far. I want
to
reset where we are with the. I think Dana's just hedging his bets in case somebody comes in off weight. Nurmagomedov's maybe off weight. If something happens injury wise to Tony Ferguson, you've still got your champ. He's not been stripped. So,
and he's in a closet training waiting to do this.
And for once, you've still got continuity. And I know it's terrible continuity, but at least the guy who won the belt from the other guy still has the belt. Because this is a big problem. You strip Connor, something happens to this fight. Oh, my God, you're in a big mess again. And we've had this enough with weight divisions in the past.
So are you saying, like, Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. is when they strip
Maybe,
him?
I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Well, no, I honestly think I think what's going to happen, it's going to be Sunday, or it's going to be announced.
Okay.
Like, okay, now you're the undisputed champion. We got to the fight. You got through the fight, Tony or Nurmagomedov, whoever wins. Now you are the undisputed champion. So we got to get that. It actually started to make a little more sense as I thought about everything.
So what you're saying is like they fight, one of them wins. Dana puts the belt around that person and then grabs the stick and goes, Connor, you're fired. Is that?
No, I don't think it'll be that excessive, but you're in the ballpark. Let's say he's not firing him. He's stripping him.
I know, but it's
fire him. He shows up in Bellator because Viacom's going to throw like $50 million.
And he fights in the heavyweight tournament and wins it.
In December, when the heavyweight tournament ends.
So much better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, so there you go. So we were talking a little bit briefly there before we had to wrap that part up about Connor and whether or not he should be stripped and why he's not being stripped, my theory at least. You've got this craziness with Frankie Edgar's manager, who was what? Basically calling Conor McGregor a whore.
Well, he called him a lot of... Well, so first he said he was full of it, mm-hmm. and then that wasn't enough. And at one point yesterday afternoon, it got bad enough that Ariel Helwani tweeted at him and asked for another person in Frankie's camp to take the phone away from him because he was doing all of this crazy stuff.
So apparently he posted a video in TMZ Sports, obviously,
of course they did.
Anybody could delete this thing.
Because Barstool was busy, so they couldn't grab it.
Barstool's the worst. So here's TMZ Sports, and this is Frankie Edgar's manager basically going off about Conor McGregor. This is Ali Abdelaziz blasting Conor McGregor. Here's some of the remarks from TMZ Sports.
Let me tell you about Conor McGregor. He's like a prostitute, used to make high dollar money, but she got old. Nobody wanted anymore. You understand? This is what he is. This fucking guy for 3 years, he did everything he can not to fight Frankie Edgar. He was supposed to fight Frankie Edgar, and he chose Chep Mendes coming off a loss, camping, and over Frankie. And he have so many much opportunity. Now you want to fucking fight Frankie? It's funny because soon as Max got hurt, Mark Henry, Frankie's coach, he told me to reach out to the UFC and ask if Conor can step in.
There you go. And he goes off for like another minute or so on Connor, but you get the gist of what he's feeling.
Yes, and his selective use of facts, because if I remember correctly, that Connor McGregor came in on short notice to fight Chad Mendes. It wasn't that he picked Chad Mendes.
Right. Well, he didn't come in on short notice. Chad came in, and he didn't turn the fight down.
Either way, right, like it wasn't that he went, eeny, meeny, miny, Chad Mendes, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was a short fight.
No, and apparently, yeah, the revisionist history too. Let's not forget, we all thought Chad was going to whoop Connor's ass.
Yes.
That was that corner turn for Conor McGregor when we all go, okay, all right, I guess he can handle a wrestler. He can do that.
But let me just say that I would have been super excited to see that fight. Frankie and Connor. Totally. Would have been super excited. So I'm sorry that one didn't manifest. I wonder, though, two things. How much stock do you put in Connor's comment about the UFC and money, and then what do you think that actually means? So the quote was, they didn't have enough time to get the promotion machine behind it to get their money back, essentially, if they put him on this card.
Yeah, and that actually makes sense. That's a very interesting dynamic, which I actually hadn't thought about with Connor until these scenarios kind of pop up. Is, you know, there's a reason every time Floyd Money Mayweather did a fight, he did it and scheduled it 6 months out. Remember, this one with Connor was one of the weirdest ones we've seen, in the fact that it was scheduled and it was done within about an 8 to 10 week window, if I remember correctly. But let's not forget, they had already been talking to each other over Twitter, setting this thing up for 2 years.
Well, and I think part of that, and we won't go back too much, but part of that was, I think Floyd, and if you could catch Floyd in a moment of humility, would say this, Floyd understood that Connor could carry some of the water that Floyd normally had to carry.
Always had to carry all of it.
Yes.
And there's a reason. There's a lot of money involved. The fighter payouts are huge. That's what we would be dealing with in the UFC, which is a dynamic you don't necessarily have where the payouts are to the point where, man, we've got to make sure we got 3 months of promotion around this. It's interesting because once I heard this, my first thought is like, oh, that makes sense. That never clicked with me, but that makes total sense. My other concern, it's not a concern because the UFC needs to go get their money. Can the UFC actually do this properly and still promote other events? I would honestly say no. I say if you see something with Conor McGregor returning, the money amount's going to be such, you're going to see two or three events essentially go by the wayside. Because we've almost seen that whenever we see a Jon Jones fight or saw a Conor fight in the past.
Sure.
And at this point, this would be one of those fights times five, times 10 maybe, where you've got to make sure, okay, look, the money's there, but we got to make sure we get every dollar. So we got to start talking about the fact that Connor's fighting in June right now. And we got to be on ESPN. And we got to talk about the build and make sure this is happening. Or else, you know, night of the fight, we're going to do an amazing buy rate, but we're not going to make enough money to make this worth our while when Connor's basically throwing the entire pay scale into disarray as far as the UFC is concerned.
Okay, so that holds true for this Frankie Edgar fight that didn't manifest. Do you think that still holds true with a Nurmagomedov Ferguson fight? Because they're going to talk about Connor the whole time.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
the whole time.
But what do you mean? The return on investment for Nurmagomedov Ferguson?
No. Meaning, like, could he take that one on short notice because they would already be laying the groundwork that he's the real champ, right?
Right. Some of it.
Because he hasn't fought at 45, right? So he'd just be kind of showing up, and that's why you can't get your money back.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right there. I still think you're going to need a lot of mainstream stuff happening for that to work, and I don't see that happening just because they're talking about Conor McGregor. Again, the UFC can't do this in just its ecosystem the way it's set up now. We certainly know they can do it. They helped do it with Mayweather-McGregor. But remember, they cleared out there that month too,
yep,
which has never been done for the UFC.
Yeah.
That means the money payout for them was worth it to clear out that month as far as a UFC pay-per-view win. So it's definitely an interesting dynamic. I mean, I get it. I get why Frankie Edgar's manager is upset because, you know, it's got a feel to other fighters like he's asking for more than he deserves, and it's not fair to the other fighter who's just as good or been doing this just as long. But, man, this isn't putting car doors on. You don't get paid the same as the next guy. This is about putting butts in seats and selling tickets, and you got a draw. And your draw right now is Conor McGregor. And I love Frankie Edgar. Frankie's a draw. Frankie's not Conor McGregor.
No.
Nobody is.
And Frankie's really never been the draw that I think he wanted to be,
mm-hmm.
right? I get it. I still love that fight, but I get why it didn't manifest itself. And so I guess we'll wait. Connor says he is coming back. You can read it on his Instagram that he's like, I'm most certainly coming back. This is what I do. Da 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 da. Which says to me two things. One, that probably all parties involved are hedging their bets on what happens at 155 between Ferguson and Khabib. And two, it might even lean more, if you're a conspiracy theory fan, it might lean more into the fact that this CM Punk Floyd thing might have some legs because he's not really talking about him as much.
Really?
Well, I mean, not in the same way, like get in the cage, let's do the, you know, he's back to talking about MMA fighters in this post and not shooting barbs back and forth with Floyd Mayweather because maybe something's already set. Maybe it's not CM Punk, but maybe something's already set. And that thing has to go first, and then it's Conor. You know what I mean?
Maybe, but I think you still have Conor promoting, like, you shouldn't be in the cage and blah, blah, blah. I feel like Conor would still take those shots, all in the course of business. I mean,
sure.
Let's not forget, they rode the same plane together to these press conferences when they were screaming at each other on
but,
stage.
But Connor's one of those guys that I think if it was supposed to be secret, would keep it secret, right? He wouldn't be... He's not going to be on Twitter doing stuff he's not supposed to.
For sure.
He understands the game.
For sure. Yeah, if they ask him to keep it a secret, that would definitely be the case. Okay, so what else do we have here? We've got this MMA fighting story I want to ask you about. I didn't prep Eric for this because I don't know.
Okay.
I kind of want to get your gut reaction. The trilogy fight for Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell has been bubbling to the surface here. And apparently Chuck Liddell is trying to get cleared by UFC docs. How would you feel about this trilogy fight with Tito?
Okay, so I'm going to have to pause you in the middle of this to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Does Tito not work for Bellator anymore?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Okay, but so Tito retired, and I'm sure even if Tito works for Bellator, he can get out of Bellator if he wants his fight, or God knows, maybe the fight would happen there. So apparently Chuck Liddell is telling TMZ Sports, man, they're all over these guys, that he'd be shocked if UF doctors don't clear him for an octagon return. And he's saying, though, that Tito Ortiz probably wouldn't come back for the fight.
Okay, so I will say two things. I did not see the story coming that we were going to talk about it. But I will say, because I posted the story earlier in the week, that they've set a fight between Vitor and Lyoto Machida, which is a fight between two people who were awesome at one point and aren't right now, and it's for nothing. So we've talked about this Legends League, and if you don't think Lyoto Machida and Vitor Belfort belongs in a Legends League, I don't know what sport you're watching.
Yeah, but like Chuck and Tito?
Hold on. So what I'm saying is if you're trying to build that thing, if you can get Chuck, who's been on a, what, eight-year layoff?
It's been a while. Yeah, I'd have to look that up, actually. But he says the docs will clear him.
Oh, okay.
He seemed a little loopy at the end there as it was, didn't he?
Yes, because I believe his last fight, and you're looking it up while I'm talking. I believe his last fight, he was knocked out by one Rich Ace Franklin with Rich's broken arm.
Oh, that might be right. So let's see. When is the last time Chuck Hears fought? Never thought I'd have to look up Chuck's record. Right? He was that guy forever that you wouldn't have to. It's been 8 years. Very good, Eric. 2010. Yep, it was the Rich Franklin fight. And
Rich Franklin knocked him out with his broken arm, guys.
Broken arm. And Chuck went 1 out of 6 in his last 6 fights.
Totally welcome him back.
It was 1 in 5.
Absolutely clear him.
Losing to Quentin, Keith, Rashad, Shogun Hua, and then Rich Franklin. His only win in there was that decision win over Vanderlei Silva. That fight that damn near didn't happen because both those guys started going on losing streaks right when they got in the same freaking company. But the last big win was probably Tito back in 06.
Wow. Here's the thing. Tito's been busier, obviously. Tito's fought younger guys.
Yeah.
Just beat Chael.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, that was 2 years ago.
And remember, Tito actually lost both of those fights. You don't usually see a trilogy.
Right.
But if you were going to, in this world of fantasy booking,
okay,
your points are very valid. Tito's probably the guy that's in better shape. He's been more active.
Well, and to go back to what I said probably a half hour ago, if you're building a brand that has to have names to sell a pay-per-view, a Legends League, for as long as you can do it, makes sense. Because the list of humans you just read to me that beat Chuck Liddell could all be in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Every last one of them.
And, you know, the things you were saying about more active and fighting younger guys and being part of the current MMA game, it's exactly why I told you Chael Sonnen would beat Quentin Jackson, even though if you were to think of both of those guys, quote-unquote, in their prime, should have been Quentin's fight.
There's no way, yeah. There's no way.
Quentin would have, destroyed him, but it's one of those things. Quentin's not as active. Quentin's an older school fighter, hasn't fought as many new school fighters. You've got the exact same thing with Chuck Liddell. Damn, I'm looking at the list for Chael. It's almost the same list as Chuck's.
Yeah.
Except it's more recent. It's Vanderlei. It's Tito. It's Rashad. It's Shogun Hua. I mean, literally almost the same list of some of these fights.
It's John Jones. It's Anderson Silva, right? Like,
but those are the difference makers, even those are the losses. I mean, those are the difference makers. Those are like fighting the new guys.
If you go back and talk to Ngannou, what did Ngannou say?
He learned more in one fight than he learned in 4 years.
You got to be in the octagon for 50 minutes with Anderson Silva and 15 minutes or so with John Jones.
25
right?
minutes, right? Oh, no, wait.
Two fights.
No,
it was two fights. So what?
Right,
so
he
30,
lost in the first
30
to John.
Minutes?
Yeah. Yeah, he fell down and John, woof.
Yeah.
That was a brutal fight.
Okay, but you got some looks that...
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and that was one of those things too where we always talked about John Jones and the strength. And Chael's like, I had no idea, man. I was in there with Anderson Silva. I didn't realize how strong John Jones was going to be.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but it would not surprise me if we're doing this. If you're going to do Lyoto and Vitor, this makes sense because you've got names. And if you go back and there's a video, we don't need to play any of it, but there's a video on our page of Luke Thomas talking about marketing in the MMA world. And he talks about this theory that we've been talking about, that the UFC hasn't been grabbing new people at all. It's mm-hmm. been holding on to the 18-year-olds that it got 20 years ago and riding them into the sunset. And if that's the theory, you are going to get people to pay $60 to see Tito and Chuck.
Yeah, maybe.
As part of a card, 100%. Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think
you can make some dollars
or you can pop a buy rate or, excuse me, a rating
sure.
on Big Fox yep. or whatever you're trying to do with this whole TV deal, which we've gone into ad nauseum. And has gotten strangely quiet, which makes me think things aren't going great. Speaking of Luke Thomas, and then we can wrap, talking about clinging to these 18-year-olds from 20 years ago who are now 40-year-olds.
Yep.
He hates Face the Pain.
He hates Face the Pain, as he should.
Now, Face the Pain is apparently, I've never really even knew what the name was, and I tend to be that guy that's having pops while I'm watching. But it's the opening theme for the UFC. It's always like screamed UFC, that and Mike Goldberg. But he hates this. Do you like this?
Well, what he's talking about in the video is he got a question from a fan on the promotional malpractice live chat, which is a show he does on Wednesdays. And the guy was talking about how he really thinks the UFC should take a page from Vince and alter these songs to match the feel of what the pay-per-view is.
Or the modern... Oh, because WWE always does another one.
Correct.
And the reason I stopped that, because this guy was about to drown us out. Listen yes. a little more for 1 second. There he goes! Yes. I need a minute to myself. So that's what's going on
and
there.
So, you know, if you continue to play a song like this, just to get into some marketing nerddom, right, that song that you just heard, Face the Pain, has literally nothing to do with modern music and the way modern music sounds.
No.
It sounds like when I was 18 years old.
Right.
Right.
Well, it sounded dated then.
Sure. But it sounds closer then than it did now.
Right, exactly.
Right?
That's dudes with studded Affliction shirts.
And I think the point of the video was if you're going to run an anniversary logo, which they're running now, it's the 25th anniversary of the UFC, now is the perfect time to come out of this with a rebrand. It's an anniversary year. Unveil your new logo, unveil your new look. And they did it a couple years ago, but like now's the time to kind of refresh everything.
Right.
And
because they got rid of the Gladiators, that was right before Face the Pain. What is it called?
Right. Yes, Face the Pain.
Heal the Pain is Michael Jackson, right?
That is, yes.
Or that's Heal the World.
It's whatever you want it to be.
It is indeed whatever we want it
All
to
right,
be.
All right, so a couple things before we wrap real quick.
Wait, did I mention this yet? Just speaking of logos, because we're in this realm.
Sure.
Did I mention yet on the show that I think that 25 is terrible?
It is awful.
Okay, did I mention that?
No, you didn't, but it's awful.
It's terrible. Like, who spaced that out? Who did that?
It's the same person that's doing their terrible posters. Like, they fired everybody when...
Are they going to Fiverr? What is going on?
Right, like, yes.
I think you can get better on Fiverr.
They listen to the Tim Ferriss podcast and hire whatever that company is and let them do their logos.
I think that company would do better. Well, see, and here's a problem. Just talking about this from a realistic way, and you and I have been in production fields and had to do things and turn things around. WWE's got one of the best production staffs in the world. That's been...
Without question. That is not arguable.
Right.
Do not send me an email. It's not for debate.
Can the UFC even do this if they wanted to?
No, but I think what the questioner
would
was
they have asked, to build it out to
what
do
the
this.
The questioner was asking Luke is that we know that Dana and Vince are friends. Why can't he help him build a team like that,
mm-hmm.
right? That understands how to tell these stories. I mean, you're seeing in the WWE, while I don't think the product is particularly interesting on a consistent level for me to watch it all the time,
mm-hmm.
when I tune in, you might see it as waste, I think is interesting. They spend a fair amount of time resetting, rebuilding stories. So if you just join Raw after WrestleMania, as they know thousands of people do, millions
right.
of people do, here's why you're tuning in. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Watch the product, don't watch the product, but at least you know the story, and then you're out, right? The UFC does a terrible job of that. They do, it's paint by numbers, right? You play Face the Pain or whatever song you want to play. Then there's black and white interviews like this weekend between Jeremy Stephens and Josh Emmett about why they want to fight each other. And then you go to the opening three shot of the guys who are going to be doing the broadcast with John Anik. And I don't know who it's on. Is it mm-hmm. Cruz? I don't know who it is this weekend. And Jimmy, I don't know who it is. But and then I don't.
We know who these people are, but we don't know if they're going to be there.
I don't know which one's doing it. And then we go, you know, we spend 10 minutes talking about that. Then there's intro. We go to commercial because it's Fox. We come back. There are two guys in the ring. They fight. We go to commercial because it's Fox. We come back. There are two guys in the ring. Right.
And you do have to do some of this, but I think we got to figure out something else other than I'm fighting for my family when you get to that main event thing.
Yes.
Especially with the Ultimate Fighters.
All right, so I want to talk about two fights to close the show up, but real quickly want to spend some time with Main Car on Fox this weekend, 8 o'clock on Saturday. Jeremy Stephens and Josh Emmett at the top of that card, which should be a fun fight. But the three that you should pay attention to, one, my favorite guy, OSP, is on this card, which I'm excited about. But this fight, there's three fights I think you should pay attention to. Jobin and Ben Saunders is on the prelim card. I have no idea why. That starts at 6 o'clock on Fox, which should tell you what's going on in the sporting world, that the prelims are on Fox.
It should be an amazing time for USC, and they just don't have the ingredients for the cookies, do they?
They do not, but they've got some fights that you might find fun. Jobin and Ben Saunders that kick off that card should be it. Kicking off the main card, Griffin and Mike Perry should be a scrap. And then right before the co-main event, is Jessica Andrade coming down from 25 to fight at 115, right?
I love that you even try. I just given up on where the women are weighing.
Long story short, she's going to be big for 115. She's fighting Tisha Torres. Just for some context, Jessica has an output of 6.5 strikes a minute. Tisha has 4.5, so they're going to throw a lot in this fight. Those are three that will be very fun for you to watch these fights this weekend on Fox. And then heading off with Jeremy Stephens and Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett, who you remembered, took a short notice fight with Ricardo Lamas and pasted him, very surprisingly. So also a fun fight. Again, lots of names on here. For the initiated, certainly. The uninitiated, it should be a fun night of fights. Other two things, we had two really awesome fights inked this week. One of them is Jacare and Kelvin Gastelum, which I love.
I really do like that fight, too.
The other one...
That's 224, I believe.
That is 224. The other one, which I'm equally excited about...
which right now, by the way, might be the main event. We don't even know.
Might as well.
No, that's actually where they're putting Vitor and Lyoto,
yep,
too.
Yes. Legends League.
Legends of Brazil. A butt scoot to the grocery store.
You got Kevin Lee fighting Henan Barão, which I also love.
That's a good fight. I didn't know about that one.
Sorry, not Henan Barão. I'm looking at Henan Barão. He's fighting this weekend. I mean, Edson Barboza. Sorry.
Still great fight.
It's an awesome fight.
It's like that fight you wanted to kind of see Kevin take.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be a very quick guy.
You want Barboza to take that because we got to find out where each one of these guys are, right?
Yeah. I mean, we knew that the Tony Ferguson fight was going to be a bruising fight, but the quickness of Barboza is going to be very interesting to see Kevin deal with.
Absolutely. So both of those were announced. And as always, you can follow along this weekend. UFC on Fox kicks off at 6. We will be on Twitter and Facebook at Wow Show. Have a wonderful birthday.
I will not. I'm getting drunk this weekend.
I know you will. Have a wonderful birthday weekend, buddy.
Well, I probably will be on Twitter then. That's when the tweets are the best.
Totally go to the Ken Evans to enjoy whatever's going to happen this weekend. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.